The Bible said, I'm going to leave you seated tonight because it's a lengthy reading. And Joshua the son of Nun sent unto Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the women took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came two men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you. I want you to look at those two words. You ought to underline them in your Bible. I know. I'm telling you, this lady was convinced. You say, well, she's not a lady. No, but she's fixing to be. Amen. She was convinced that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror's fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. You know, it would be good for America if we had a good old-fashioned heart melting. I'll promise you this, beloved. What went on in those 11 days just in the past between Israel and the West Bank over there in Gaza, a whole lot of hearts melted. Amen. A lot of people lost their life. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, that is nothing compared to the judgment that's about to fall on this world from an almighty God. Our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. What a powerful statement for this Gentile heathen woman to be making. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be, I've been reading this for years. I've been reading this text for years. And just today saw the whosoever. All I ever pictured was Rahab, her mother, her father, her sisters, and her brethren. But I want to promise you something tonight. Whosoever was in that house was spared from judgment that was coming upon Jericho. Whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all the things that befell them. They said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. If correctly read, that's Joshua chapter number 2. Turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 1. I'd like to read one verse of Scripture and try to bring the thought that the Lord has put in our heart. In Isaiah chapter number 1, in verse number 18, the Bible said, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. With the help of the Lord tonight, I'd like to speak to you for just a few minutes on this subject, the reasonableness of Rahab. Rahab did the reasonable thing when it's laid out in the context of Scripture. Let's pray together. Brother Don, would you pray for me tonight, please, brother? Pray for the service. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Brother Don. The reasonableness or the reasoning of Rahab, that's what I'd like to talk about for just a little while tonight. This is a tremendous story in the Bible. Jesus tells us in the Gospels, to him much is forgiven, the same loveth much. I believe Rahab was an individual that really, really, really appreciated the grace of God. I believe she was an individual that God would use in the future for his honor and for His glory. I'll give you three simple thoughts tonight and just hope and pray that God will use them tonight in our hearts and in our lives. The first thing is it's reasonable to believe God. Anything that God has ever said has always proven to be true. They've been trying for centuries to disprove the Word of God, to disprove the things of God. But beloved, they're still true tonight. And I believe that when the people heard what God had done for the children of Israel, that the only reasonable thing to do was to believe that God was on their side and God was against their sin, being on the inside, their Jericho. I think about believing God. The Bible said here, we heard these things. This is a simple thought, beloved, but it's a reason to keep reading your Bible. It's also a reason to keep sharing the Word of God with others. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. She heard something in her ear, but it didn't stop in her ear. It went down into her heart. But you say, Pastor, what's the difference between hearing something in the ear and something going in the ear and going down into your heart? I'll tell you what the difference is. When it goes down into your heart, it'll cause you to act upon it. Amen? She didn't just say, we heard, and just go on with business as usual at the house of the harlot, but she hid the spies. Listen, the Bible's going to tell us, I think I touched on this a little while back, over and over, because she hid the spies. But don't ever forget, she hid the spies because she believed God. Everybody that's ever been saved got saved the same way. They believed the Word of God and took God at His Word. It's reasonable to believe God. It's unreasonable to leave this world without God and not believe, beloved, that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. I love the song you sang, sister, but I'm going to tell you, I don't know how long after I heard it, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. And the song is true. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. But if you understand your Bible, as the Bible teaches, before the foundation of the world, amen, we were on His mind. Before Adam and Eve were ever created, before they ever fell, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. I tell you, when I didn't have my mind on Him, He had His mind on me. When I didn't have my eye on Him, He had His eye on me. When Rahab was not thinking about Him, hallelujah, God was thinking about her. I want to give you something tonight. Some have criticized, said, what in the world are them spies doing going down there in the house of a harlot? I want you to think about something tonight. What better place could you find in a city to hide and remain anonymous? That even the men of the city, when they went there, say amen. They didn't want their identity known, amen. Operating in the dark. And so she hid the spies because she believed God. I'll give you something tonight. Not only is it reasonable, the Bible said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Is it reasonable to believe God? But it's reasonable when a person believes God to be burdened for others. You see this all through the Scripture, beloved. Listen. 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 If I was a professing Christian tonight and I had no burden to see others come to know Christ as Savior, I would check up tonight and see if there's not something wrong in my heart and in my life. Because all through the Scripture, beloved, listen, people get saved and then they get somebody on their heart. The only one I can think of, beloved, listen, where that wasn't the case was the rich man in hell. When he lifted his eyes in hell, he got burdened, but it was too late. He's in hell now. Send Lazarus to tell my five brethren not to come. to this awful place. It's reasonable to be burdened for others. As soon as Rahab the harlot understood that there was a way for her to be delivered, boy, I like this, she wanted her family to get in on it too. Boy, you tell me which one of our family we'd want to leave behind down here for what's coming upon this world. Which one of our family we'd want to see under the judgment of God at the great white throne. It's reasonable to be burdened for others. I believe with all of my heart tonight that God wants to turn the burden up a notch around our church. God's doing that in my heart. I spoke yesterday morning at the motel. There was a young man that could speak both languages. I was talking to a lady and she was just looking at me. And I'm guessing her age to be 30, 35. She was doing the rooms and cleaning. And I'm speaking to her and she's just looking at me. And all of a sudden he started talking and I realized she looked at him. He was telling her what I said. And then I realized this young lady does not speak English. And so I had a man there, a young man. He looked like he was in his late teens that could speak English and speak Spanish. And we stood there and conversed with them. They have the little card, Brother Steve. They were very interested in watching the video. The ladies at the desk were as well. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? It's been a long time since I made an attempt to quote John 3:16 in Spanish. But the smile that came on that lady's face. And I told the young man, I said, tell her it's hillbilly Spanish. Amen. And we had such a good time together. You say, Pastor, are you bragging? I'm trying to. I'm trying to brag on Jesus. He's helping me with my burden. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go without taking somebody else with me along the way. He's helping me. And you know what I'm trusting God to do? For that burden to catch. Amen. Amen. That burden to catch. And so tonight, it's reasonable to believe God. It's reasonable to be burdened for others. And then it's reasonable tonight to understand that the blood of Christ is the only way to heaven. You say, Pastor, I don't know where you got that out of the text. Well, if you look at the scarlet thread, it's called a cord. It's called a thread. That thread actually runs all the way through the Word of God. It started there in the book of Genesis. Do you understand that God had to clothe Adam and Eve? And that blood had to be shed in order for them to be clothed and be able to fellowship with God again. Do you understand that Cain and Abel brought the blood. He brought the firstling of the flock. And Cain brought the fruit of the ground. And God was letting them know, it's blood that I approve of. The children of Israel, the death of the firstborn in the land of Egypt. God said, I want you to put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'm telling you, I believe we're living in a generation where multitudes of people think God's looking for their Sunday school pins. Multitudes of people think God's looking for their baptismal certificate, looking for their church membership. Amen. I'm for Sunday school. I'm for getting baptized if you've been born again. But I'm telling you, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes the difference between heaven and hell. Nothing else makes the difference. There's a cord here. I did something a while ago. I called Miss Barber. They went to revival. I think it's her son-in-law's church tonight. But I did something a while ago. The Bible talks about a thread. The Bible talks about a cord. I believe it's verse number 15. She let them down by a cord through the window. The Bible talked about it being scarlet. Listen, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe it's important. The Bible speaks about a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I brought the yarn back there. I told my wife, I told her what I wanted to do, and she said, yeah, I believe yarn will work. This is just one strand of yarn and you can pull it in two relatively easy. And this right here is the same yarn, just made into a small cord, a threefold cord. You can just weave it together. Daddy taught me how to do that when I was a kid, Brother Thurman. You can make a little loop and just pull it and pull it, and boy, it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger till you cannot break it. And I believe with all of my heart that what God is telling us here is that we're under the blood, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost have covenanted together to take care of us. We're not going to fall. The cord, beloved, listen, runs between here and glory. And we're not going to fall. And by the way, the illustration might not work for that, but it's not that I'm not going to fall because I'm hanging on, but He's hanging on to me. I'm in His hand. And the Word of God said, no man can pluck me out of His hand. The cord was strong. The cord was single. It was only in one place. It was in her window. And the cord was symbolic. I believe the fact that it's single teaches us where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I believe, beloved, listen tonight. The Word of God said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I believe that the cord was symbolic. In its color. I don't believe the Lord ever wants us to forget the blood of Jesus. We're living in a world where blood is being erased out of the Bible. We're living in a world where blood is being erased out of the songbooks. We don't want them old bloody songs in our church. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus ought to thrill you and I tonight. That's the only hope that this harlot had of being saved by the grace of God was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about, not only was it symbolic in its color, but it was symbolic in its correlation. It ran between the top of the wall and the bottom. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. You can go this way without the blood. But if you go that way, you'll go through the blood. If you go to heaven when you leave this world, you'll go through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you tonight. Folks say, well, you're narrow-minded. I'm just as narrow as this book. I believe narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. Few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. It was symbolic in its color, in its correlation. You think about that tonight. Think about the color. Not only the blood of Jesus, but I want you to think about this tonight. You think about that harlot. And I want you to think about this tonight when you think of the color. It identified. You've heard of the red light district, amen? You say, Pastor, I wouldn't talk about that in the blood of Jesus. You know what happened when Jesus died? The Word of God said He, that's God, made Him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's only reasonable tonight to trust Jesus and the shed blood of the cross. It's symbolic not only in its color and in its correlation, but it's symbolic in its company. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Sinners. Did you know that Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Sinners. The Pharisees couldn't understand how that he would have publicans and sinners and sit down and eat with them. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, don't you ever forget this. We serve a God that loves sinners. He hates sin in anybody's life, mine included, but he loves sinners. God loves sinners. We see that it was symbolic in its company. I want you to see this tonight. The cord was not only strong, and the cord was not only single, and the cord was not only symbolic concerning the blood of Jesus, but it's significant. You see, beloved, listen, it made the difference. It made the difference for the spies. It made the difference for the sinner. You say, Pastor, how do you know it made the difference? Take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn over with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11. Turn there with me, please. I want you to see something tonight. I want to read it in your hearing. Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible said in verse 31, I'm going to read verse 30 as well. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. As far as I can tell, there's only one thing that causes people to perish. They will not believe. The Bible said, perish not with them that believe not. When she had received the spies in peace. How many understands that there's some great people in Hebrews chapter number 11? You know what God said? Rahab's a great person. Rahab, Miss Eve, help me. She was the great-great-grandmother of David, the king of Israel. She was in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Matthew chapter number 1. I'm just about finished tonight. Matthew chapter number 1. Let me show you something here. This is just absolutely awesome. Matthew chapter number 1. I'm glad I live where I live, and we name our children like we name our children. You fool with me and I'll get you to read these names. Amen. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And Judas begot Phares and Zerah, Tamar. And Phares begot Esrom. And Esrom begot Aram. And Aram begot Amminadab. And Amminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz, it's spelled booze here, Boaz of Rahab, or Rahab. I want to give you something tonight. Listen, let this sink in. This is the only place in the Word of God where the harlot, oh, hallelujah. I'll just tell you this. Every one of us in this room that's ever been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ can be glad that when we got saved, in the heart and mind of God, there's a lot he just leaves off. The Bible said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I appreciate the Lord. The reasoning of Rahab. It was reasonable to believe God, reasonable to be burdened for others, and reasonable to believe that the blood of Christ is the only way of escape. To get on a plane, you got to have a ticket. You stay at a lodge, you got to make a reservation. If you go to heaven, the blood of Jesus must be applied in your life. There is no other way. When the spies went down there to Jericho, Brother Steve, this blesses me. They were looking for a city. They were spying out the land. But my father was looking for a sinner. I'm telling you, you don't have to believe me, but God will change our church if we go to looking for what He's looking for. Looking for a sinner. Several years ago, Brother Don, a preacher, he made this statement. He said, "You just can't find anybody that's lost anymore." And I asked him in a nice way, "Where are you looking?" I'm going to tell you this. You don't have to believe me. They're everywhere. You might ask people if they go to church, and they might say yes if they went once 15 years ago for a Christmas program. But you start asking people, if you were to leave this world today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And you'll find out that a lot of people have no idea. There are people that sit on church pews every Sunday morning, if they would answer that question honestly, could not say that they know. Rahab said, "I know." And I want to thank my God tonight. I know. I know. I know that I know Him. And more importantly than that, I know that He knows me. He's a wonderful Savior. Come now. Isaiah said, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." I believe God wants to use us to reason with folks. Amen. And I'm glad that God is showing us that with Rahab it wasn't hopeless. And it doesn't matter who that individual is, what they've done, or where they're at in life. God, even your niece, sister, God can make the difference in their life. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight?